Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Steve's on his way into the Sunbury Motor Studio. I'm Chris Elio. I'm going to take you along until he gets here, stretching his legs out there, doing whatever he does. Sunbury Motors, Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in North 4th Street, Auto Plaza in Sunbury. That's our sponsor for today. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Route 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. If you want to be part of the show or you want to chat with Steve Jones about whatever it is on your mind in the sports world, the number is 1-800-795-9565. Or you can toss a email at him, stevejones@wkok.com. Or you can follow him on Twitter, @SteveJonesPSU. That's @SteveJonesPSU. On the web, you can also listen back to the podcast if you missed anything or if you did get on the air and you wanted to relive that moment. You can go to stevejonesshow.com and listen to the podcast. And then, of course, the way we keep tabs on every single human being on the planet, Facebook, Steve Jones Show on Facebook. And today, I am happy to say, should be a national holiday, a lot like the Super Bowl. It is the official beginning of possibly the best sports weekend in all of sports. Every year, it's the official beginning of the NCAA tournament. March Madness is here, and it is well underway. We've already had one barn burner last second game. Came down to the wire. Notre Dame edged out Princeton. That's a 5-12. Everybody's always betting on the 12 there, and they almost got their wish, but a 60-58 victory by Notre Dame. I guess the Irish had God on their side on that one. I'm not sure, but came down to the wire. Right now, you got Gonzaga, who's struggling a little bit. They were up by 4 at halftime. Let me refresh and see what the current score is. Yes, they're still at halftime, 26-22 in Salt Lake City. We have West Virginia and Bucknell going at it. It's 19-12. West Virginia's jumped out to a 7-point lead there. And Butler is pulling away from Winthrop after Winthrop made a run to make it close. It's 60-43 in Milwaukee. And Virginia held on for dear life. Another 12-5 game. UNC Wilmington falling 5 points short there, 76-71. Coming up later on this afternoon, you got number four starting right now. The tip should be any second now. Florida and ETSU in Orlando, Florida. At 4 o'clock, we got Minnesota, Middle Tennessee. At 4:30, we have Northwestern Vanderbilt in Salt Lake City, and so on and so on. It's a full day full of games. I heard Dan Patrick during that Above the Noise segment before we started the show here, and he was chatting about faking illnesses and being out of work. I would love to say I would be all for that for myself, but I'm like in a media place myself, so it's all going on right around me right now. So I'm fine right where I am, but if you don't have the luxury of having a job like I do, where you're stuck at a desk or in a warehouse or something, then perhaps you'd want to take the day off or fake an illness or, you know, oh, my stomach hurts. You don't have to go to the doctor for a stomach virus, I'm telling you. You can get away with the stomach virus thing. That's at least 24 hours, so you can pick a Thursday or a Friday. I would pick Friday because then at least you have the whole weekend. You get a three-day weekend. You can watch your basketball, the whole first round, the majority of it anyway. You can fake a stomach virus. It's all good. But if you say you have a cold or you had a fever, they may ask for a doctor's note. So I don't know. That's up to you. That's your call. But it's a full day of games. You got like 16 games today, 16 tomorrow, and then it goes right into the weekend. I mean, you can seriously just grow some moss while sitting on the couch, just pounding Doritos all day long. And then maybe you'll actually have a stomach virus. I don't know. Don't listen to me. Especially those in the East Coast around here still digging out. It's better than going out and digging snow, honestly. That would be my honest to God take on all that. So you got the NCAA tournament. You have, you know, and if you're a fan of anything else, hockey's in full swing. They're coming up to a playoff push and NBA. I mean, you can easily make an entire weekend of this weekend and just be locked into your TV. So I would, I'm all for taking the days off, honestly. That's what I would do. Let's update scores. That the Notre Dame is always in.
Is your Final Four even intact?
My Final Four is still intact.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
No, we're all good on mine. I hate to go chalk. I'm not the guy to go chalk, but I came pretty close. I picked 2-3 seeds. I had Oregon and UCLA and Arizona and Villanova.
Well, Oregon's a problem because of the injury.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, that's a problem. That's a problem. That is a, in terms of being able to advance consistently, that's a problem. And that's, I think, with him, I think they actually would have been in pretty good shape. Now, they could have been a definite Final Four team. But this is where injuries come into play. Notre Dame won as a now wrestling did really well today, really, really well. Everybody won, and they won big for Penn State. I mean, everybody picked up a couple bonus points here and there. That's good.
So they're not missing Soriano yet.
No, not yet, because Gulabon went out. Gulabon won 19-2 today. He won by a tech fall.
Wow.
Which is, I mean, he could get pinned the next round.
Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah. I mean, that's just the way he is. You just don't know. Like I said, Gulabon's good enough to be on the podium. Okay? And I just, you know.
Well, that's the difference between someone who's great and someone who has potential to be great is consistency, right?
Well, he is not consistent. The only area where Jimmy Gulabon is consistent is inconsistency.
Right.
He's consistently inconsistent. Again, he could be on the podium. He has that much talent and has that kind of ability. And then he also can be the same guy that got pinned 2 out of 3 at the Big Ten Championships.
Wow.
Well, today he wins by a tech fall. I mean, I watched his bout. I was watching Notre Dame and Princeton, and the other TV set had on the NCAA Wrestling Championships.
So you have the right idea.
Well, I was at Letterman's here in State College where we do the talk show.
Gotcha.
And I went over after Pro Day. And Pro Day turned out to be interesting, I thought. For Penn State. I mean, Godwin did not run another 40. But I'll tell you, Sickles helped himself. Sickles went from a 4.9 that he ran in Indianapolis to a 4.66 today.
That's a major difference.
It's amazing being back in your element, what kind of comfort there is. But Zettel was out there. So Zettel stopped by to watch today. Christian Hackenberg came by, and he was watching today. Geno Lewis came back today and was back hanging with the guys. So I think that helped them in a lot of ways. I think sometimes just being back in your comfort zone helps. I really do, and I think for them that helped. That was Pro Day today. Terrence Samuel and Isaiah Washington both given their release to transfer from basketball. And I loosely alluded to this on Monday. Because when I was talking on Monday, I was talking about, you know, needing another player or two. And if you did the math, you probably, if you're in tune with what's going on, or you did the math and looked at the roster, you probably said, what is Steve talking about? What's he hinting at? That's what I was hinting at, because I knew this was coming. So they now have a couple of spots recruiting-wise that they can look into. And next year's a big year for them. They know that. I mean, look. Pat's been trying to build something, But there is a point, and he is the first person to tell you, that they need to win is Pat Chambers. It's the first one he knows. This isn't like, I'm oblivious to the world. No, he knows he needs to win. At some point, you got this stuff, you need to win. And so he gets it. He understands it. And so next year will be an important year for them.
Is there that much pressure to win at Penn State basketball as there is in football? Or,
well, no, but at some point you put pressure on yourself to win. Long time ago, Phil Santos did the New England Patriots for 40 years. So all the iconic Patriots calls that you hear from their first three Super Bowl wins are all Gil. Well, for 4 years, Gil was the play-by-play voice of Penn State football. And that's where I started cutting my teeth as the third member of the broadcast team with John Grant and Gil Santos in the 80s for 4 years. It was like being in a living play-by-play classroom. And he gave me a slice of advice that I've never forgotten. And it's a slice of advice I give to my students. You will get to a certain point in your career where you are the first one to know when you're doing it right. You're also the first one to know when you're doing it wrong. You're also the one that puts pressure on yourself because you're the one that knows what you need to do. Well, Pat Chambers has always been the first one to know when he's done it right. He's always known when he's the first one to do it wrong. And he also knows, self-imposed, that, look, and he told me all season long, I said, look, this is happening, that's happening, I don't like this, I like this. And he says, look, the bottom line, Steve, he said, we got to win games. And he knows. He's not in some bubble. There are some people who assume he's in some sort of bubble and, just happily going along in life and whatever. He's had to overcome more challenges than most coaches because of the circumstances here. You get hit with a double whammy out of the gate where you get hired in June, so you miss a recruiting cycle. And then, of course, everything breaks out the week of your first game. And again, as I pointed out a few times in the show, if you don't think that had any effect on other sports, the naive line is on the right. So just go over there and stand in it. Okay, because you don't get it. And you weren't around it, maybe, to get it. And so it was a slower start for him because of those circumstances. But now he's been able to get into Philadelphia, but he now knows he's got to win. I mean, any coach knows they have to win. I mean, that's the purpose of going out there. Yeah, you want to graduate people. You want to form a culture. That's all part of winning. But at some point, you've got to have more points than the other guy in more games than not. And and he knows that. He gets that, all right? And so he understands completely that. So the pressure, yeah, there's, no fan can put pressure on a coach. The pressure to win is always internal. The pride is always internal. You don't need to have some guy from Milheim going, you better win or you're gone. What, you think Pat doesn't know? Pat's the first guy to know.
Well, I don't mean like fans putting pressure. I just mean like in terms of the difference between NCAA football, NCAA basketball, or pro, and it's just a different game. I think I'm always shocked when I see an NCAA coach getting fired for not winning, unless he has so much talent. Like, when you lose to a team that's just got more talent because their standards are different, it's unfair to fire a coach, in my opinion, anyway. That was my point.
Right. Well, no, and look, my point on Pat has been, look, the process for him to get started was exponentially longer than others because of the circumstances here.
Right. Right.
And that's, you know, and that's why it's been a slower process getting to the point. And then, of course, he does something that people have not been able to do. You can see the talent level is better. But they're going to have to find a grad transfer, something in this period here that can shoot the ball. They're going to have somebody that can stretch a defense and shoot it. And he knows that. And they have a little bit more flexibility than before, now that this has happened with Washington and Samuel, that they've both elected to transfer. Okay. So that's what you have. NCAA tournament scores. Notre Dame won today, 60-58. Bucknell down 10, 31-21 to West Virginia, 10 minutes ago, first half. Gonzaga up 9, under 16 in the second half, 40-31 over South Dakota State. Butler leads Winthrop 68-61. Virginia was down 15 in the first half. Rally beat Wilmington 76-71. At the bottom of the hour, Florida against East Tennessee State. Middle Tennessee State takes on Minnesota at 4:30. Vanderbilt, Northwestern. Then the evening schedule gets rolling, including Villanova against Mount St. Mary's at 7:10. All right. So let's take a break. Today, Pete Jensen, NHL.com, will join us. Audrey Snyder on Penn State Football Pro Day from DK Sports at 4:06 as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Pete Jensen, NHL.com, next half hour. Audrey Snyder and Penn State Pro Day in the 4:06 half hour today. Great to have everybody on board as we roll through this Thursday and the opening full day of the NCAA basketball tournament. Tom Crean fired as the head basketball coach at Indiana. So he is out. Not a popular figure inside the building. Not really that popular with the fan base either, but also not popular inside the confines of the building. So I'm not going to get into why and what I know. That would not be fair, but I'm just to give everyone a general, there's not going to be a lot of weeping on this one. Now, it's not as if he hasn't been to the Sweet 16 three times in the last 5 years. He has. And he's won two outright Big Ten titles, I mean, including one last year. But they've decided to move on. Fred Glass has made the decision to create. I knew when Indiana would not play the NIT home game and elected to play at Georgia Tech, you knew it's at that point something was up. Now, supposedly Crean had put in some feelers about the Missouri job before all this happened. But then Konzo Martin got that for a 7-year, $21 million deal. So, Tom Crean, as Dick Girardi would say, gone. And so are we for 5 minutes.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
I'm anxious for them to make the feature film On the Mark and then have Movie Mike review it. And I'd have him do it on this show. I just want to know if Brad Pitt plays Joe McGranahan. I'm telling you, it's a possibility.
I have Mark Lawrence sitting right next to me right now.
Hey, I heard that.
Who would play you in the movie, Mark? Who would play Mark Lawrence in On the Mark?
We would darken the hair of Robert Redford, and people would say it's typecasting and it's a striking resemblance.
I have to admit, it would be actually stunning to see the two of you in the same room.
Who would play you? Maybe Dan Patrick?
Sure, why not? He's done some acting before. You know, and then we can get Kevin James to play the suit. All right, so... All right. Pete Jensen in just a few moments from NHL.com. And time now for this day in sports history. In 1900, Ban Johnson, not Van Johnson, but Ban Johnson, the president of the American League, announced that they would have franchises that would begin playing in April in Buffalo, Chicago, Cleveland, Detroit, Indianapolis, Kansas City, Milwaukee, and Minneapolis. 1964, Paul Hornung and Alex Karras were reinstated to the NFL by Pete Rozelle after an 11-month suspension for betting on football games. They each bet on their teams to win, but were suspended. 1991, the U.S. won all three medals at the World Figure Skating Championships. Christy Yamaguchi won the gold, Tanya Harding the silver, and Nancy Kerrigan the bronze. 1996, Mike Tyson won the World Boxing Council Heavyweight Championship with a technical knockout of Frank Bruno in the third round. Technically, Bruno can't get up, so it's a TKO. And there you go. That's this day in sports history. Brad Pitt is Joe McGranahan. Robert Redford starring as Mark Lawrence, and Kevin James as the suit.
It sounds like a blockbuster to me. Summer release.
Again, you know, the suit part's a cameo, but it'll be just effective enough to give everybody a feel.
It'll be the comic relief.
For what it's really like. I'm telling you, I just made my first digital media sale of the month. It's the 31st. You're like, great. Sales are up 100%. All right. I'm already starting to write the movie in my mind. Let's bring in Pete Jensen, NHL.com, Audrey Snyder on Penn State's Pro Day next half hour. Pete, welcome. It's been a season of a lot of streaks. I feel like we're seeing better NHL play than ever. Your opinion?
Yeah, it's so close, and the margin for error right now is razor thin in the East, especially where you look at four teams fighting for two spots and one of them only eligible for one of those spots. You look at the Boston Bruins, New York Islanders, each of whom they've made coaching changes in the middle of the season, fighting with the young Toronto Maple Leafs and the resurgent Tampa Bay Lightning, who will be very dangerous if they get in, especially considering they could potentially get back Stamkos, who's been injured for much of the year. He was leading the league in points per game before his injury, and if he comes back, he could make them extra dangerous. They've been so good lately, especially since trading away Ben Bishop. Nikita Kucherov, I think, is an MVP candidate. Their goalie, Vasilevsky, is proving that he's the guy for the long term, and he's going to be a very good goalie for the long term for them. And, I think we're starting to get down to the wire here, and you're starting to see the real contenders in the West. LA's in contention. They're the first team out. Outside of them, it looks to be pretty set in stone. In the East, again, it's razor thin, and there's just so many teams I've watched these teams all year. There are so many teams capable of going to the conference finals. It's going to make it very difficult. I mean, it was difficult for me today to pick a bracket for the NCAA, but I think it may be even tougher for the hockey, because there are so many teams that could go deep. Almost anybody in the East could make a run at the Eastern Conference crown.
This has been a season of streaks. Washington had the long home ice winning streak. Early on, Columbus had a long winning streak. Calgary is just coming off a 10-game winning streak. What's created streaks. Now, Washington, yes, but really from Columbus and Calgary, which would be unexpected sources.
Yeah, and there's also been, you know, the Philadelphia Flyers had a 10-game winning streak, and they've kind of fallen out of contention ever since. But, yeah, there's been a number of teams. Columbus, Minnesota had, remember, they had the, they met each other at the same time with streaks of 10 or more games. So they think there's been four streaks of 10 or more games. I mean, it's just been a combination of good goaltending, and for those teams, maybe with the exception of the Flyers, just being a very well-rounded team. I mean, Calgary has a very good defense that's been underrated. They got off to a slow start. Some of their top dogs were underachieving early and were banged up, Johnny Gaudreau leading that list. But I just think that the parity of the league and the teams around the league are trying to model themselves after the Stanley Cup champions of years past, and they're focusing on having three strong lines, having two sets of strong defensemen at the very least, and I think it's all coming to a head here, and you're seeing teams capable of not only holding their ground through thick and thin, but also being able to put together a streak of enormous length based on history. I think it's the first season in history that four teams have had 10 or more wins in a row. So that's pretty amazing.
Are we seeing now, because of the worldwide reach and the fact that the NHL is the world league, are we seeing a depth in the NHL that maybe we haven't seen?
Yeah, they're tapping into countries that we're becoming familiar with, Sweden, Russia, you know, countries like that. But also you're seeing now teams, I know the Sharks have multiple players from Denmark. I'm not sure that's ever happened before. These countries are producing from the grassroots levels. They're producing exceptional talent. Deep draft picks are becoming extremely valuable. And, of course, the first two picks in each of the past 2 years have been outstanding, with Connor McDavid having the Oilers in playoff position, which sounds crazy. They haven't been there the past decade. And, you know, Jack Eichel is having a phenomenal season, even though the Sabres are out of contention. And then Austin Matthews and Patrick Laine have the Jets and the Maple Leafs on track to be elite teams in the near future, especially the Maple Leafs. Remember, they went into a full rebuild last trade deadline, and they're now in contention. And it's not just that they're in contention. They have a favorable schedule, just like Tampa Bay, just like the Islanders. And it's going to be a real race to the finish, and we're seeing the accelerated rebuilds for teams around the league, and they're setting the bar for that, the Toronto Maple Leafs.
The Penguins, of course, are a team that, being the defending Stanley Cup champions, but guys like Malkin, Letang, Crosby, even Marc-Andre Fleury, have all been through this before in their careers, where they are the team that, instead of wearing the Penguins skating on front, you know, trying to move a puck, it should just be a target. But the younger players have not. This is their first experience going through it. How impressed have you been by the fact that you're the biggest game on the schedule, and the Penguins, especially the young ones, seem to have responded to it pretty well?
Yeah, definitely. And certainly in terms of their depth, they've been limited by injuries yet again. It seems to happen every season. Chris Letang hasn't played for a couple weeks now. They made some moves at the deadline. They got Mark Streit. In terms of their young players, though, I mean, I think we've seen from Jake Guentzel and Connor Sheary, we've seen them perform at amazing levels at even strength with Sidney Crosby, and they look like seasoned veterans right now. Guentzel didn't play, but Sheary played during the Cup run. Brian Rust, prior to his injury, was playing on that line, looked very good as well. I mean, they have their development in order, their prospect development in Wilkes-Barre. They have they're giving these guys opportunities in the absence of some of their top players along the way, and they just have the full system working right now, and it's scary. I mean, I talk about this all the time. The Penguins right now look, if they get Chris Letang back, they look stronger than they did last year, I think. So that's a scary thing. That's a scary proposition for the Eastern Conference, even with all these sleeper teams like Boston, the Rangers, Columbus, Tampa Bay, if they sneak in. I still think the Penguins are the team to beat, and they are used to playing with that target on their back, and they've just handled it so well from their veterans to their youth.
And finally, who do you actually have in your Final Four?
for college basketball?
Oh, I'm not asking about hockey. No.
Yeah, I got a Big Ten rep. I got Purdue in there. I got Gonzaga. And I have Duke and UNC meeting in the championship game. So
oh,
we'll see if that works out.
Fourth time around. Yeah, great. Let's bring Dickie V in as a guest analyst. Shell Bill Raftery. A little nylon. Thanks, Pete. It's always great to hear from you.
You too, Steve. And enjoy all the games today. It should be fun.
Thanks, Pete. Appreciate it. That's Pete Jensen, NHL.com. Audrey Snyder, next half hour, we'll talk about 10 Penn State's pro day today and the observations from it. Penn State 8-0 at the NCAA Wrestling Championships today. Couldn't have scripted a better start. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Attention, Central Pennsylvania truck buyers. This is the sales event you've been waiting for. Sunbury Motors annual March new truck sale. SMC is the only Ford dealer in the area that has four city blocks of new Fords and has sold over 40,000 new trucks. Right now, pick from over 125 new Ford trucks with savings up to $12,500. Sunbury Motors has new 2017 Ford F-150s starting as low as $23,919. There's over 30 2017 Ford Escapes, and they're priced from just $18,880. SMC has 2017 Ford Explorers starting under $30,000. And there's 45 of the all-new 2017 Ford Super Duty.
Motor Trend's Truck of the Year.
Plus, there's 0% financing for up to 72 months on select models. Central PA truck buyers, this is it. SMC's annual March new truck sale. Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, proudly serving the Susquehanna Valley for over a century.
All right, so far we're early on in this, and all the higher seeds have won or are winning. Butler, Virginia, Notre Dame all won advanced. Gonzaga, West Virginia, and Florida are all winning. West Virginia at halftime's leading Bucknell 42-33. Bucknell had closed the gap, but West Virginia closed and now leads by 9. So far, higher seeds have all won or they're all winning. There isn't one lower seed that's in the lead. Now, the day's still young. These are games 4, 5, and 6 in the tournament. And usually you want to see how the upsets usually occur within the first what, 48 games? I mean, as for the up, and it's not really that. The upsets really occur in the first 40 games.
It's usually the first weekend.
Yeah, I mean, that's 32 right there. So usually the first 40 games is where upsets occur. And so far, you know, 3 down, 37 of those to go. Or let's just take a conservative of 32 games. 3 down, 29 to go. And you've got 3 higher seeds winning and then 3 more leading.
And most interestingly by that is that 2 12 seeds have already gone down. And traditionally, 12 seeds are where the big upset comes from first. It looks like they wanted to lead with 12 seeds to see if they can grab people's attention early.
Well, the best chance I see in the afternoon always to me was going to be Middle Tennessee State and Minnesota, the 4 o'clock game.
I agree there. Xavier and Maryland, too, to me seems interesting.
Maryland does not match up well with Xavier. I picked Xavier to win that game at 6:50. And I've got VCU beating St. Mary's. You know, I watched St. Mary's play 3 times this year. And I didn't like them. I actually saw them play 4 times. I didn't like them once. I watched all of them. I'm like, I really don't like this team. They have a couple of guys that can play, but I don't like their pace of play. And
VCU traditionally is very good in the tournament. This is when they arrive, usually. So,
yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know. It's we'll see how the afternoon plays out, but right now, the word chalk could be used.
Well, and you know, being a Big Ten guy as you are, Purdue could be in trouble against Vermont, too. I mean, I don't watch a lot of Vermont, but they got a great record, and they seem capable, so.
No.
No? All right.
I'll say this about Vermont. Vermont is a very well-balanced, team-oriented team. They don't have a dominating scorer. They have four really good scorers. They don't have a dominating rebounder. They have three really good rebounders. They have a couple of people that can handle the ball. I mean, I've watched Vermont. They are a really good team. But the interesting part about Purdue is Purdue plays really good team basketball. But what I don't like about Purdue is I don't like their point guard play. Right. This is now the time where that becomes an issue for them. That's why I don't have them going past the Sweet 16. I just don't have them doing that. Because their point guard play, especially in close games, their point guard, Thompson, will hit free throws. But if you press him, if you're the team behind and you press Purdue, you can press Purdue into oblivion. Into oblivion. Also, Vermont does not have a guy good enough to take Swanigan away from the basket. When they go man-to-man, see, Penn State could do it. I mean, Penn State was outscored by Purdue 36-6 outside the arc, right? Which is just a stunning minus 30. When you're outscored a minus 30 outside the arc, you're blown out by 25 points. You have to play really, really well to get the game to overtime.
Right.
They did. And Lamar Stevens took Swanigan outside. And I'll tell you right now, Swanigan, there were a lot of scouts there that night. Swanigan did not help himself. Lamar Stevens, there were several times he schooled him outside. Showed that he was a little flat-footed, not quite as quick. And you're like, I mean, Dick and I looked at each other and said, I think we've seen a couple of chinks in the armor here. Because Swanigan, offensively, is a brilliant player because he can play with his back to the basket. He's a very good passer. He can face up and shoot the 20-foot shot. So offensively, he brings every element to the table you really like. And that face-up game in the NBA will really help him. I mean, Swanigan will not be an NBA star, not in the least. But one thing that does travel from college to the NBA, if you can rebound, that translates at the next level, no matter what. Swanigan can rebound. And then the other parts offensively, the fact that he can play a little bit with his back to the basket, that he can face up, that he has a decent jump shot, that'll keep him in the league for 8 to 10 years. But defensively, out on the perimeter, in the NBA, they will slice and dice him. Biggie is not quick enough. And I saw that in the Jordan Center firsthand. Now, Vermont doesn't have a guy like that. They have versatile guys, but they don't have a Lamar Stevens that can do that to him. And they have no matchup for Haas. None.
So it's just straight talent.
Nada. Oh, he's 7'2", 290. Can't move him.
Just straight talent.
I mean, to be honest with you, Stratton Mountain is more movable than Haas is. might as well go with some Vermont landmark. And Killington is more. But when but they have a good outside shooters in Edwards and Mathias. Mathias did not have a good Big Ten tournament. Did not. They actually do run a lot of things through Mathias offensively to the point where he is the leader in assists. Carson Edwards I like a lot. But when it comes to their point guard play, Whenever I've talked about Purdue's point guard play, this is what I was talking about, the tournament. And I made the point in the pregame show before Purdue, and Dick Girardi disagreed with me, and then we got to halftime, and he looked at me, he says, you know what? Now I see what you're talking about. You're right. I'm with you. Because it's just not there. It's not there. And later in the tournament, that's where Purdue's going to lose. Today's not that day. Audrey Snyder, next half hour.